Look at verse number 1, first of all. Amen. Noticing that, and I'll hustle along. The Bible said Saul consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great, what? Read that. It was a great persecution now. Amen. Said, Brother Luther, what are you getting at back? Hey, there was a great persecution against what church? The church over there at Jerusalem. Amen. In other words, those fellas knew that they were to be out there, amen, doing what God would have them do. But you know what they'd rather do? Sit around here, amen, and not do anything. There's a lot of preachers tonight, amen, they're sitting around waiting on some man of God to drop off, amen, die, hello, amen, won't do a thing. Hey, I like what Brother Alan Barker said tonight. You show me a preacher tonight, amen, that has any zeal about him at all, and send him my way, amen, and we'll be able to find something for him to do. Say amen right there. Hello? Amen. My God, that gag of maggot tonight. Amen. To know, amen, that people are dying and going to hell. Amen. And people are sitting, amen, somewhere on the front row of the pew. Amen. Hey, they wouldn't seek, bless God, amen, a blue tick dog. Amen. On a good coon track. But I say tonight, hey, that God's got something tonight for every one of us to do. Amen. Amen. Hey, boy, it burns me up. Amen. To know what God is able to do in a man's life if we'd only let that fire burn. Amen. Hello. Amen, Brother Spivey. Sure. Oh, persecution set in. Notice what happened in verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. When the persecution come, they got out of Dodge. They're afraid that there's going to be the next Stephen. Hello. Look at this. In verse number 4, the persecution caused the disciples, the apostles, amen, to get out and go do the job. Some of you tonight, is it going to take some sort of a persecution? Is it going to take some sort of troubled time in your life to get you to doing what God wants you to do? Is it going to take some sort of a heartache or trouble for you to really get behind that man of God and really allow him, amen, to be the pastor, amen, that he ought to be here? Is it going to be that you're going to wait on somebody in the family to be buried? God will do it. God will do it. Hello? Don't get quiet on me now. Hello? Amen. Hey! Persecution. God knows what it would take tonight to line you up in His will. He knows. He knows tonight. Look at it. Now, when the persecution set in, they got out there and began to do what? To scatter and then preach the word. When persecution set in on the early church, the word got scattered. Look at the second thing. Number 2, look at verse 5 and 6. The Bible said there, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with what? Are you reading that with me? You say that. One accord. I'm not talking about your hunt, hello. I'm talking about being together. I'm talking about pulling, praise God, together. I'm talking about pulling, praise God. Amen. Like we're really willing to allow God to use these missionaries that you're putting on and that you're really all for it. Hello? The word got scattered, but number 2, the wicked got saved. Hello? Look at it. Oh, Philip, hey. He was in a Holy Ghost meeting over there after he got there. Look at what verse number 8 said. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said that the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing, seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. Now this is Philip down there preaching. This is Philip down there doing what God would have him to do. Amen. And the Bible said they came out of many and were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies, and that were lame, they were healed. Verse number 8 said what? And what? Great joy. You want great joy in this church? You want God to walk through here? You like what went on around here this morning? You like, praise God, hey man, coming in and just letting God do some things around here? Hey man, then, number one, the word needs to be scattered. Number two, the wicked need to go to getting saved. Isn't that something? A lot of times, a little bit of trouble comes along and everybody seemed like they get stirred up, and boy, God, it seemed like that whenever I was pastoring, that if there was a little ripple come through the church, God save a crowd. God save a crowd. God save a crowd. May I say to you tonight, why do we wait on that little ripple? Why don't we just go do something for God anyhow? Hello? Hey, are you listening to me tonight? Hey, but look at it. Hey, but not only did the word get scattered, the wicked got saved. Look, if you will, in verses number 6 and 7. They began to worship at will. I mean, they were willing, praise God, and the joy of God set in. Hey, but look at this. Note something else. Hey, man, the Bible said, but there was a certain man called Simon. Hey, man, before time, the same city. Hey, man, you sorcerer to bewitch the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one to whom they all gave heed. For the least of the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him that had regard, because that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You know what happened? Works got started. They didn't wait on Miss Bossy Jaw or Miss Curly Q, hey man, or Dr. Bottle Stopper. Hello. They realized that the man of God was in town. Some of you need to realize tonight, you got the man of God. You've had him 16 years now. Amen, Brother Spotty. Hello. Sure. Oh, you say, preacher? Hey, man, are you meddling? No, I'm just preaching. Hello, the rest is up to you. Hey, man, notice this. Hey, man, listen. Oh, verse number 15. The Bible said, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Listen. You know what happens when we get in one accord and we recognize what God's doing at the house of God? We'll begin to say, let's send that missionary too. Let's send that mission. Workers got sent. Look at it. The word got scattered. The wicked got saved. Worship got started. I mean, they were willing to worship. Are you listening tonight? They were, look in verse number 15. They were willing, praise God, that as the works got started, they were willing, praise God, to send the workers out. And I got to looking at that tonight and I thought, God, what's Philip going to do here? We're looking at verse number 26. Look at verse number 26. And the Bible said there, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is what? Now listen to him. Look here just a minute. Philip was up there where everybody was saying, look at the miracles. Look at what's going on. Look at, man. Well, oh, Philip, praise God, look at this. But wait, look at verse 26. Philip had to leave every bit of that and went to the desert. What about you tonight? What about some of you now? How would you like to know that you had to leave here after what we enjoyed this morning? that you had to go to some old dead, dry place over yonder across the road somewhere. How would you like to know tonight that, hey, that God decided, hey, man, that Brother Barry Rackman had been here long enough. And it was time, amen, to pull up, amen. I wonder tonight, praise God, how would we feel then? I wonder how we'd feel then, amen, when it seemed like, amen, that things begin to dry up, hello? I wonder how it'd be then, praise God, we'd begin to say, my goodness, amen, man, I remember. Do you remember that, praise God, amen, that that fourth Sunday in August, amen, of 2008? Do you remember how God moved through that day? Amen, you know what Philip's saying? He's saying, God, if you want me to go to the desert, I'll go. And the first thing that I saw there is Philip and all that he had been doing. Number one, he was a willing servant. He was willing. He was willing tonight. Can I ask you tonight, are you willing that saturation of that wick get on you tonight? And that you'd be the one that God would use. Some of you tonight, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm really wanting God to. I'm really wanting God to help me in my life." But I want to ask you tonight, have you ever even talked to your own children and asked them, "Sweetheart, do you know if you were to die, would you go to heaven?" I got a phone call on Tuesday of this week. And a dear friend of mine in Mexico, Missouri, called me. It was Brother Adam Weber. He said, "Brother Luther, please pray for me." He said, "My pastor," he said, "when I was in Bible college in California," he said, "my pastor," he said, "he helped me and helped me to know the will of God. And now I'm here in Missouri pastoring this church." He said his 18-year-old son has just been killed in a car accident. And he said, "My heart is broken because," he said, "I'm the one that led that 18-year-old boy to the Lord Jesus." He said, "Brother Luther, that breaks my heart." I wonder tonight, friend, what would it be? What would it be if you got that kind of news tonight? And it could happen to us. It could happen to one of our grandchildren. It could happen tonight. Oh, listen. And it could be Travis. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, Travis, tonight, we work now out at Cold Creek Baptist Church. That's our home church. Our son is our pastor. But oh, I think so often tonight how tragic it would be for us to get a call like that, Brother Barry. But I'm telling you tonight, folks, amen, would you still be willing, praise God, amen, to serve God no matter what? Would you be willing tonight, praise God, amen, to allow God to use you? Would you be willing tonight? Or tonight, hey, would you get to that place that you kind of saw up on God? And you'd say, "God, I'm not going to send Steve Sykes, amen, up in New Mexico. I'm not going to have any part of that. God, I'm mad at you. I'm mad over the choices you've made." Hey, but I say tonight, Philip was willing tonight. He was willing to leave all the glamour and the glory and all that was there tonight. And he was willing to go where God wanted him to go. Are you willing tonight? Young man, are you willing tonight? That night that I was preaching when Brother Steve, some of you may not have ever heard William Carey, one of the great missionaries to the Antilles. William Carey, for years, he was a shoe cobbler. Brother Barry, he was making shoes, and for years, he had a sign over his table, and it said, "Lord, send me." And for years, William Carey would say, "God, I'm doing everything that I can to see everybody else go, but God, why won't you send me? God, why can't I be used? God, would you use me?" It went on like that for years. And finally, God moved on William Carey's life. He was no longer a shoe cobbler. But now he's been called into the ministry to take the gospel and to go to the Antilles Island. Oh, as he went, he left that great harbor. There was a rope that was laid to the side on that old ship. And William Carey saw that rope. And he looked back and he saw all of that huge crowd that was bidding him farewell. And he said to them, I'm willing to go. And I want to go. I prayed for years that God would allow me to go. And He took that rope and He threw it to that crowd. He said, I'm willing to go. But is there any there that would be willing to hold the rope? Would you be willing to help me? Would you be willing tonight? Would you be willing to do your part? That's what He's saying. Would you be willing to pray for me? Would you be willing to share in the needs when I get there? And that night, Brother Steve, when I threw that rope, God grabbed your heart tonight. And you know what God's doing on the grand finale tonight? A missions here at Rogersville Baptist Temple. He's after your heart. He's wanting you tonight to become that willing servant. He may not be telling you tonight to go to Mexico or New Mexico. He may not even be calling you as a pastor. But you know what He's saying tonight? Would you just become that willing servant? Would you just hold the rope? How many of you hold the rope for Brother Barry? Some of you have no idea the times that he lays on his belly begging God, God, please, give me the right food. He's in there stirring it up so that He'd come in here and feed you. So that he'd have just the right blend. So He'd just have just the right diet. But sometimes you come in and you've been eating Sawbrawers. You've been eating the thistles on the cactus. You know, even an old camel knows what part to spit out and what part to chew up. Hello? Some of you have been in here long enough to know that man's not going to hurt you.
Amen.
That man's not going to hurt
That's
you.
Right. That's
he's not going to do you harm.
No.
You think he's going to hurt one of your children?
No.
You think he's going to do anything that would cause any type of a ripple through here to hurt you? He's here to help you. And you won't even, hold the rope. You've got to that place. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. You're doing pretty good by yourself. I know what it is to pastor. I was there for 25 years. And I tell you, there's a lot of times I didn't know how I would make it. Somewhere along the way, one of the sweet brethren would come by and put his arm around me and say, Brother Luther, you okay? You need anything? What can I help you with? Boy, not knowing right then
yeah.
How much everybody that had just needed that. Somebody come in here and he's mixed up the food all week. He's laid on his belly all week. He's got just the right blend. I mean, he's got just the right diet for you. And you walk out of here and you've got that help. But the first run of thistles that come by, you already forgot. But He loves you. Who's going to hold the rope, Brother Steve, down there? I'm honest with you tonight. Nancy and myself, we've got a huge load on us. And I thank God that God just keeps opening doors. And keeps saying, we have, in all the 8 years, when God started allowing us to build churches down there, Brother Barry, we put our support to the side and said, God, them boys down there needs it more than I do. Are you listening? How long's it been that you've looked around here and said, God, you know what? Brother Baird, it's my prayer. Hello? Wonder who'll hold the rope. I wonder tonight, praise God. Hey, man, I wonder who'd really be that willing servant tonight. I wonder how long's it been that you'd come by and picked up his arms. Said, oh, preacher, Lord, let me help you.
Amen.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't make it if that's the kind of preaching that you do here. Preacher, I don't want to settle with anything else. Preacher, let me hold you on.
Amen.
Some of the rest of you, amen, you want to come around to the preacher? I'm willing, amen. I want to do my part, hello? Amen. But I'm telling you, my friend, if you're not careful, hey, you'll let the praise God, you'll let that place slip right through your fingers. You know what Philip did? He left all of that glory. Went off down there. Look at the very next verse. Look at verse 27. The Bible said, and he arose and what? He didn't mumble back and say, God, I don't want to go. God, look at what I'm leaving if I leave here. No. You know what the Bible said? The angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, go. Philip, in verse 27, Philip said, I'm going. And the Bible said he arose and what? He went. He didn't sit around and pray, oh, my Lord, suck on his thumb and that. No, sir. He went. Amen. You know what happened? Amen. He arose, went down there to the desert. He went, praise God. Amen. And allowed God to use him. But he went to a great multitude when he got down there in the desert, did he? No. Who did he go after? How many? How many did he go for? One eunuch. One eunuch. Of all the ones to go for, a eunuch. But God sent him down there in the desert for the value of one. You know what your trouble is tonight? You have forgotten the value of your own family. You know why? You know why tonight that place of becoming that willing servant is not really hit you in a staggering way tonight? It's because that the tears never fill your eyes now, knowing that it could be one of your children. Now I'm going to tell you, on the way to church this morning, our grandson and our granddaughter, he's 8, she's 11, and they sang to us all the way to church this morning. I mean, I could have attacked hell with a squirt gun this morning. Hello? And when we got to church today, we were saturated. Our wick was soaked. And we walked into an ignited blaze. God was moving through here. I mean, thank God all I had to do is sit there and burn. Brother Luther, you drive 8 hours for one under God. If I could drive every week and get in on a service and a day like I've had today, I'd drive it every week. I'd drive it every week. Some of you don't realize tonight what you've got. Some of you don't realize tonight, amen, what God's doing where you come to church. I want to tell you, God did not bless that eunuch until the man of God got there. May I say to you tonight, God did not bless, He did not bless the children of Israel until the man of God got on the scene. God does not bless the people. He blesses the man of God to get the people to line up. Are you listening tonight?
Amen.
He uses the man of God. Hello? Amen. How long has it been? How long has it been that you just went by and said, preacher, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being that willing servant. Thank you tonight. Hello? Oh, I'm so glad that the darling Son of God came to where I was at. I'm in an old sorry wretch like me. And He birthed me into the family of God. And I get to go to heaven tonight. Amen. Because of His love and His mercy. Amen. That was extended to me. Thank God tonight. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, that I know who He is. I'm glad I know who He is tonight. It's Him. Oh, some of you, once you become that willing servant, would you go for one? I came back, Kaylee and Dallas, I'd hate to know tonight that one of my grandbabies may not be saved. That's my grandchildren. Hello? But I wonder now, how long has it been since it's touched your heart that that grandson of yours is not where he ought to be? I wonder how long it's been that that granddaughter has touched your heart. I wonder how long it's been that your son or your daughter has touched your heart that they're not in church. You've forgot the value of their soul, friend. You have forgot the value of their soul. The value of one. When Jesus, He said, I must needs go where? Through Samaria. You know where He was going? He was going for one woman. He was going for one. Remember whenever Zacchaeus was down there climbing that tree? Remember when Zacchaeus scooted out on that limb? Hello? Amen in God. Amen, the darling Son of God stopped. Amen, it said Zacchaeus came down, the richest man in town. Climbed a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. The value of one. The value of one. The value of one. He was willing, the willing servant. But it wasn't just that willing servant, but number two that I saw. Amen. Notice this, if you will. Look in verse number 31. And the Bible said, and he said, talking about that eunuch, how can I except some man should guide me? We don't only see a willing servant, but now I see a wanting sinner. He said, I don't understand what I'm reading. How can I understand it except some man guide me? And the Bible said that he invites Philip up into the chariot. You know why? Because he wanted what Philip had. You know why that eunuch had been to Jerusalem? The Bible said in the same scripture there, he had been up to Jerusalem for to do what? To worship. He had been over there to worship. Yeah. And whenever he got over there, he'd gotten let down. You want folks to come here and see what we had this morning? Or do we want it, like Brother Barry said, it's high this morning and low this evening? Which way do you want folks to see your church? How do you want it to be? I preached a message a while back on the fig tree. You know, you're a fig tree in God's orchard. And that fig tree tonight is representative of every one of us. But you remember whenever Jesus saw that that fig tree had withered and died, what did He do? He said, hew it down and do what? Cast it. What kind of an orchard do you want this orchard to be? Wouldn't it be one, praise God, that puts forth the fruit? And it's got to be one tonight to say, hey, if our pastor is interested in the work of missions, and I want to be lined up in the same mindset that my pastor is, and we've got to go get those sinners. That eunuch was a what? He was a wanting sinner. Some of you tonight need to be that example. The other week, we was home just today, 2 days, I think it was. And that little grandson of mine, Titus, followed me into an old shed out behind Brother Stacy's house. We was working on a lawnmower. Little Titus followed me into that shed, and I could hear those footsteps coming along behind me on the gravel in the driveway. And I turned around and I said, Titus, man, what are you doing? He said, Papa, I'm just following you. I said, Are you sure you want to follow? He said, oh, Papa, why wouldn't I want to follow you? He said, Papa, you're a great Christian. I stopped and I said, Titus, why would you say that about Papa? He said, Papa, you're just a great... He said, you're not just a great Papa. You're a great Christian. I said, but why do you say that? He said, "Papa, you preach all the time." And I stopped and I turned around and looked at him and I said, "Titus, would you please understand, Papa? Preaching does not make you a great Christian. It's being in love with Jesus enough that you yield completely your life to know that Jesus lives in my heart. It's not Papa, but it's Jesus." He said, "Papa, will you help me that I'll know how to be a great Christian?" I said, "Titus, would you let Jesus come to your heart?" He said, Papa, I want to be a great Christian." I said, "The only way you'll ever be a great Christian is you've got to be born again. You've got to accept Christ." That little old fellow walked out of that building. Brother Barry looked mad and he said, "Papa, I'm going to be a great Christian." Just been a little while back now, old Titus plowed the altar. Amen. Watched when he got baptized, took his picture and all. Amen. Whenever he got through, coming and hugged me, he said, "Papa," he said, "I told you, I'm going to be a great Christian. Don't you want that out of your grandchildren tonight? Praise God, don't you want that tonight, amen, for your family?"
Amen.
Say, "Preacher, how?" When you realize the value of one. When you realize one of the values. You see those folks in those pictures? And Brother Steve's going down there. Go back through there and look at our table. There's a few old ladies that just got saved in Mexico. One of them 78 years old. 78 years old. A year and a half, 2 years ago, there's an old man got saved, stood on the front porch of it, and preached out into the muddy street where we was at. And I kept watching this old man about middleways back. He was wiping tears. Man, he was unglued. And after a while, he just got up and eased his way out. I thought he was leaving. But somehow he made his way around to the front of the congregation. And that old porch that I was preaching out into the people from, he grabbed a hold of one of those posts and worked his way down in that mud. And he got down in the mud in a little while. Some of the fellows there went around him again to work with him. And he wouldn't get up. Finally, there was a little white-headed lady sitting right next to him. She got up and eased her way out, come down the middle of the service, and got right over him. And you could hear him talking and speaking in Spanish. And she was saying, "Why are you up here?" He was patting his chest. She said, "What did you do?" He said, "I've accepted Jesus Cristo, salvo. I've been born again. I got saved." And she started crying. And in the mud, Brother Barry, in the mud, that old man told his wife, "This is what I said. Lord Jesus, will you come into my heart and save me tonight?" She said, "Well, if I say that, will he do that for me too?" And in the mud, on his knees, he got hold of his wife's hand. And she said the prayer that he said. And they both got saved that night. That's the first time. The first time. Brother Steve, that's the first time that they have ever heard the gospel. And they both got saved. You think tonight that they're not here in Rogersville that want to hear what God's done for you? They're out there. And they want what we've got. Are you that willing servant tonight? The wanting sinners are. But the third thing that I saw is the Spirit of God. Notice, if you will. Notice what the Bible said. Now I'm about done. Look at verse number 29. The Bible said, "And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." The Spirit of God. You'll never get born again until the Spirit of God draws at your heart. I like what Brother Sammy says. Tell me when you got under conviction.
Yes, sir.
If the Spirit of God has never drawn you to Him. You see, it takes the witness of the Spirit of God. But some of you tonight, God has been dealing with you about following that man of God, about really allowing God to use you in this church. Really present yourself tonight according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And God's been dealing with you about it. But you just hadn't given in to it. That witness of that Spirit of God tonight keeps calling, doesn't it? He keeps coming back. Somebody scared me to death this morning when I heard that that family was here in that car accident. And yet there was somebody left here today lost and undone without God. I don't know who it was, but I know that God dealt with them. Some of you tonight said, "Preacher, what call?" We've never yet realized the value of one soul. That fire that Brother Steve is talking about, it's got to have a place to burn. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love Him? My wife, she's going to sing this song in a few minutes. I want her to sing a verse of it right now. I know Him. Do you know Him tonight? Is it all right, preacher? Just let her sing. Just stand right there, Nancy. Amen. And sing her out. I'll hold the microphone for you. Amen. Sing a little bit. Stand up right there if you would. Listen to this.
The birds up in the air know the Creator, and nature sings an awesome song of praise. Even the heavens declare His glory. So I will stand before you and proclaim that I know Him. Yes, I know Him. I met Him at the foot of Calvary.
I know Him.
Yes, I know Him, but best of all,
He
knows me.
My Lord, I want to hear. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. I want Him to be glorified in my life. I don't care. Sing about Him. That's helping me. If it is the rest of it or not, I don't know. Amen. Right now, praise God, I'm liking it.
He's moving in this place. Yeah, right now, I feel Him. And I do believe He's standing in the aisle. With outstretched arms, He beckons to the weary. Come, I'll give you rest, my child. I've rested in His arms a million times or more. And every time He's held me tenderly, so I will stand and say to you that I know Him. Will you stand with me and agree? I know Him. Yes, I know Him. I met Him at the foot of Calvary. I know Him. Yes, I know Him. But best of all, He knows me.
You know, in the last few verses of that same chapter, whenever Philip got up in that chariot, that eunuch said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And what did Philip say? "That if thou what? Believed." And number four, he said, "Let me tell you this wonderful secret." He was a willing servant. He met a wanting sinner. The willingness of the Spirit of God brought him to the place that he said, "Let me tell you this wonderful secret. Jesus will save you." You know what Brother Sykes and myself are trying to do? We're trying to do everything to reach out there and get them to know the Lord Jesus. Now, week before last, I saw 539 people get born again. The very next week, we had Bible schools in our churches down there. And I'm talking, these boys, they get out there and get with it. And we baptized 355 of that crowd. 539 saved. Are you listening? Came back and went to State Line Baptist Church on that Sunday morning. I got home, and there's a 59-year-old man got saved. And I just went ahead and said, praise God, I've seen 540 saved this week. Hello. Amen. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, have you forgotten the value of one soul? Have you forgot about the value of that next door neighbor of yours? Look how accommodating he is or she is. Look at those young people. Look at those people you go to school with every day. How long has it been that it's registered in your heart that if they die, they're going to hell? I don't even want the thought of somebody I've met that they might die and go to hell. It does something to me. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I'm telling you, you're looking at one preacher tonight that I'm concerned about you dying and going to hell. You're not wanted in hell.
That's right.
And like I told you this morning, we don't mean you any harm. We just want you to be able to say, hey, I really get to go to heaven too.
Amen.
My daddy he loved to hunt. I loved to hunt. But my brother, my dad would hunt a whole lot together because I was just a little squirt of a boy at that time. And I'd listen of a morning whenever deer season was in or coon hunting and all that was in. And I'd listen, and that old daddy had an old Dodge truck. Remember them old trucks that the starter was up on the firewall? You could hear them things crank for 3 miles. How many would get out there? I remember a few times I'd get up and I'd hear that old truck that started. And I'd jump up, Brother Barry. I'd run to the window. I'd look out. And they run off and left me. Wouldn't let go. 2 years ago, my mom died. 6 months before that, my brother died. And I got to thinking about that. You know what they done? They ran off and left me. But there's a day ahead, praise God. And I'm going to go there. And I'm going to see them. Hello? Some of you tonight, you ought to make it, praise God, a point in your life. Say, wait a minute. If they're not saved, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to take every one of them little brown-skinned folks that I can in Mexico. I'm going to take every one of them with me that I can. And all the time that I'm back here, and God allows me to preach, I'm going to do my best not to let people in America die in their sin and go to hell. Some of you tonight, you ought to be on this altar already saying, God, give me again the burden that fire that is in my heart that could set me again to the place that I ought to be. And as the preacher, I was in the altar a while ago. Why don't you come tonight and just take one more step and say, God, I want my fire. I don't want to just be challenged, but I want to change. I don't ever want to be like I was before the month of August started. I don't ever want to be like that again. God, I want to be. All of those 530-some souls, just like they walk right down every aisle of every church that supports me, every one of them shares in what God's doing in our lives. Every one, all that crowd, Last August when we was there, God set them boys on fire. And from August to February, you know what God did? He saved more than 8,000 people in our 23 churches. I said, Brother Luther, I find that hard to believe. I've invited Brother Barry to go with me anytime he will. And I'll promise you that when we go, it'll change your heart, change your life.